Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Bala Gopa Giribada Dhade Gopi Jana Bala Ba Giribada Dhade Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Randana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Randana Jamuna Tirabana Jagade Yamuna Tirabana Jagade Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Madhava Giribada Dhade Gopi Jana Madhava Giribada Dhade Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Te Ravana Jagute Yamuna Te Ravana Jagute Jai Hurad Humadva Kunja Bihari Jai Hurad Humadva Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvatakacharya All Sutera Sitashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chatanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai Nam Acharya Srila Huridas Thakur Kijai Prem se goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Gijaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shaima Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijaya Vrindavalam Kijaya Maturidam Kijaya Jagadadasami Kijaya Yumunamai Kajai, Shivani Lassi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakta Vedanta Swamini Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dejitarani. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 43rd chapter, text 32. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hey Nanda Suno. Hey Rama Bhavantau Vira Samatau Nayuda Kushalau Sutra Yatnahutau Didrikshuna. Hey Nanda Suno, hey Rama Bhavantau Vira Samatau Nayuda Kushalau Sutra Yahu Tao the Drikshuna. E Nanda Suno He Rama Vanta Vira Samatao the Yuddha Kushalao Shutfa Yahu Tao the Rikshana. He Nanda Suno He Rama Vantau Vira Samatao the Yuddha Kushalao Shutfa Yatahu Tao the Rikshana. Synonyms. Hey Nanda Suno. Oh, son of Nanda. Hey Rama. Oh, Rama. It's nice they're chanting. They're getting some benefit here. Bhavantau. You too. Vira. By heroes. Samatau are well respected. Niuda in wrestling. Kushalau, skillful. Shutva, hearing. Rodda, by the king. Ahutau, called for. The Drikshuna, who wanted to see. Some translation. Chanura said, O son of Nanda, O Rama, you two are well respected by courageous men and are both skillful at wrestling. Having heard of your prowess, the king has called you here, wanting to see for himself. So you could repeat, Chanura said, O son of Nanda, O Rama, you two are well respected by courageous men and are both skillful at wrestling. Having heard of your prowess, the king has called you here, wanting to see for himself. So, there's no commentary by the servants of Srila Prabhupada, but there's comments by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami. So we'll read those very short commentaries. You are skillful, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur comments, you are skillful at wrestling, Bahu Yuda. Very short commentary. Jiva Goswami has a longer commentary. He says, he addressed them, O son of Nanda, O Rama, by addressing Krishna as the son of Nanda. He indicates that Nanda was his true father. He addressed Balaram as Rama, meaning that he gave pleasure to all people to encourage him to fight. But the wrestler intended to show the low birth of Krishna from a coward family by not mentioning Balaram's lineage, indicate that his parentage was not known, in order to take away their glory by mocking them. You're respected by men as being courageous. The king has heard you are skillful at wrestling. He wants to see you wrestle. Since the king wants to see you, you must be qualified. Thus, you should participate in this fight. Because of the contrary meaning of his words, his statement is meant to mock them. It's very interesting. Whoops, sorry. One second. Again, the verse. Hey, Nanda, Suno, hey, Rama, Bhavanto, Virasamatao, Nayuda Kushalao, Shutva, Rukdahu, Town, the Dikshuna. So, Omagana, Timbadanda, Shah, Gananjana, Shalakaya, Chakshur, Unmiditam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri Gurave Maha. So, as mentioned yesterday, there's certainly some envy here. But there's a lot more going on than envy in his words. Because this is a typical thing that occurs when there's a competition, isn't it? It's not simply, you know, you could say, well, there's envy, you know, you're criticizing the other person. However, it's, you know, some chivalry, some fear, some anger, because it's said that they actually saw, the wrestlers saw Krishna when he came in, like his anger or fear. So there's some fear there, too, because they've heard the stories. But there's also some chivalry there, because if you've ever been at any sort of match like that, you know, whether it's soccer or baseball. I remember baseball when I was young. We would actually make fun of the opposing team and razz. It's called razzing. Anyone's heard of razzing before? You would razz them. So certainly there's envy, and that was an interesting class about envy yesterday. And also I was thinking when Mother Ermila gave the example yesterday of Lord Shiva, this is a very interesting thing I just wanted to bring up. I didn't get a chance yesterday, the questions and answers. When Lord Shiva was criticized by Daksha, because Daksha was actually envious of him, and he was envious of him, and he was criticizing him for his good qualities, as Mother Ermila mentioned yesterday. And the good qualities was were that he was taking care of really low-class creatures. like ghosts and goblins, bisachas, bhutas, witches. And that, yeah, that means he's merciful. So Daksha was criticizing him for being merciful. And I was thinking, let's draw a parallel to how some of Prabhupada's godbrothers would criticize him for being merciful too. What do they say? He was successful because he liked associating with those low-class people. If you're not aware of what I mean by low-class people, that's in reference to us. Who are, of course, not all of you in reference to me. I don't want to be envious of anyone. So, which means, you know, because we were just like bhutas and pretas and pisachas and whatever, because we were engaged in all sorts of nefarious activities, and Prabhupada came to save the most fallen. And Lord Chaitanya is known as someone who saves the most fallen, and he was criticized by ritualistic brahmanas, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was criticized in this way. So, you know, there's some envy there. So, of course, this is a typical thing that devotees use when someone engages in criticism of them. They always come up with this envy word. I mean, it's a cop-out. It's really a cop-out. I mean, yes, there may be envy. And certainly when Prabhupada described envy to certain people who were criticizing him, we accept that there's envy there. But it's become a very common part of a devotee's nomenclature to pull that out when someone criticizes them. But there's a lot of different reasons why someone may be critical. I mean, for example, let's say, you know, right now, I mean, just using modern news in ISKCON, that there's been a lot of criticism of the GBC on the internet. One reason or other, because there's some things that people felt the GBC didn't deal with, right? Timely or properly. And so one could say, oh, they're just critical, I mean, or they're just envious of the GBC. But there may be other reasons, like they're confused, they have a need for protection, and that protection has not been met in their minds by the GBC, not knowing what has been going on behind the scenes. So there's so many other reasons why one may criticize others. And it's very easy to say that person is envious of me or that person's envious of someone else. It's not exactly like that all the time. It may be, or it may be mixed in different circumstances. When there may be other reasons like confusion or fear or chivalry or anger. I mean, for example, we had different book distribution groups in the 1960s and the 1970s, and we were certainly criticized. I was criticizing Tamal Krishna Maharaj's Radha Damodar party. We had this competition, and I would call him up. I was in Caracas, Venezuela, and we would call him up and say, you know, you're not going to be able to do this. Your people are hopeless and useless and stuff like that. And he would get really angry. And he would say the same thing about us. But that's chivalry. And we find in Krishna's pastimes, and I'm going to read some quotes here, how Krishna sometimes is criticizing his enemies in a chivalrous way. And the enemies are criticizing him in a chivalrous way. So in the third canto, in other words, we shouldn't always assume that someone is envious because they're critical. And, of course, we're going to give some standards towards the end of class as when you can criticize, when it's a good idea to criticize, and also when it's a bad idea to criticize. So, here's some examples from Shastra of Krishna criticizing, not a mood of envy. This is from the third canto, 18th chapter. So, third canto, 18th chapter, text 2. And this is about the fight between Hiranyaksha and Lord Boar. So here's Hiranyaksha. He saw that the all-powerful personality of God in his Boar incarnation, bearing the earth upward on the end of his tusks and robbing him of his splendor with his reddish eyes. The demon laughed. Oh, an amphibious beast. Now, there may be some envy of the Supreme Personality of God. It's certainly the guy's a demon. And certainly everyone, another point I wanted to make before we read this, certainly we can say everyone's envious in this material world. Why? Because we came into the material world because we wanted what Krishna has, right? I mean, that's in that sense, everyone's envious. Even the most charitable person who is going around and opening up hospitals and feeding the poor, not Krishna conscious, of course, they're all envious because Krishna Bhariya Mukta. What does that mean? That we turned our face away from Krishna. I was just reading in the Jiva Dharma last night how Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that no one can trace out the time. It's timeless. That when we turned our face away from Krishna. Although the soul is eternal, so he says it's timeless. There was no time when we actually turned our face away from Krishna. But we did it at a certain time. You know, it's interesting. Actually, you have the two sentences one after the other. So we actually did it because it was timeless, because when we did do it, there was no material time. Does everyone understand that? It was outside of time when we did it. So we didn't do it at a certain time. That's interesting, isn't it? Anyway, so this is the whole discussion of where the soul came from, you know, and the Tathagata Shakti, which is a confusing discussion. So anyway, so all of us are envious. Ishwaroham, Ahambogi, Siddhoham, Balavan Sukhito, certain degree or other, we're actually thinking this in this world if we're conditioned souls. Even if we're Brahmavadis, Vayavadis, Karmis, Vikarmis, you know, whatever variety of non-devotee there is. I am the controller, I'm perfect, I'm powerful, I'm happy, I'm the center. And Prabhupada said this is because we're imitating Krishna, it's envy. So, I understand that. So I'm not saying that there's no envy in these particular cases. The demon is just a cool guy who's having a chivalrous relationship with Krishna. There's envy. But there's also chivalry going on. The demon said, oh, an amphibious beast. So the demon addressed the Lord, O best of the demigods, dressed in the form of a boar. Just hear me. This earth is entrusted to us, the inhabitants of the lower regions, and you cannot take it from my presence and not be hurt by me. So there's exchange there, you know, anger, chivalry. You rascal. It's a demon again. You have been nourished by our enemies to kill us, and you have killed some demons by you remaining invisible. In other words, you played some tricks. That's how you were able to kill some of my friends. So, fool, your power is only mystic, so today I shall enliven my kinsmen by killing you. The demon continued, when you fall dead with your skull smashed by the mace, hurled by my arms, the demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifice and devotional service will also automatically cease to exist like trees without roots. And the next one is, although the Lord was pained by the shaft-like abusive words of the demons, he bore the pain, but seeing that the earth on the ends of his tusks was frightened, he rose out of the water just as an elephant emerges with its female companion when assailed by an alligator. So the demon, who had golden hair on his head, he was blonde hair from Scandinavia, also Narada Muni also had blonde hair, and fearful tusks, gave chase to the Lord while he was rising from the water, even as an elephant would chase an alligator, would chase an elephant. Roaring like thunder, He said, "Are you not ashamed of running away before a challenging adversary? There's nothing reproachable for shameless creatures." So, anyway, let's go ahead a little bit on this. The Lord placed the earth on the surface of the ocean. And here's what the Lord says. The personality of God has said, "Indeed, we are creatures of the jungle, and we are searching after hunting dogs like you." So here's Krishna criticizing. Yeah. Duryodhana. Yeah. Duryodhana. Yeah. "One who is freed from the entanglement of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you are indulging, for you are bound up by the laws of death. I am searching for dogs like you." So Krishna's not envious of him. Definitely not envious. "I'm searching for dogs like you, heroes like me. Do not take notice of arrogant words of you who are bound by the ropes of death." The other meaning is as follows. "We are seen by the devotees who have given up material enjoyment." Vanagotra. "Mercifully, I search out those who are most prominently attached to material enjoyment, Grama Singham, to offer them a place with me." So actually, Krishna's also being merciful to this particular demon, who's also one of Krishna's associates because he was Jayan Vijay, one of Jayan Vijay. "But why do you give mercy to proud, sinful persons? Heroes like me are generous and do not feel the faults in your boasting words. What is your position? You become completely..." Some of these are commentaries by the Acharyas. "You become completely freed from the ropes of death, since one who receives my mercy is not subject to death. O person from whom no inauspiciousness arises, Abhadra." In other words, Krishna's saying it's very auspicious. So anyway, so there's much that's going on here. Another example of Krishna criticizing the demons is when Lord Ramchandra speaks to Ravana in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 9:10:22, if you want to make reference to it. He says to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool." That's an insult. And there's no envy there. It's truthful. "You resemble a dog, for as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence, you kidnap my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable and sinful and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse, paraphrasing Lord Ramchandra. "O stool of a Rakshasa, you are foul because you stole my wife. You are like a dog who enters the house when no one is there and steals ghee. Today, I, like Yamaraj, will give the results of your sin to you who have performed condemned actions." "You, the commander of leaders of the foot soldiers, should immediately act to bring about my defeat without thinking twice. He who does not fulfill his promise is not fit to sit in the assembly." There's another meaning. "Filled with prema, you have accepted the mood of a demon as a promise to give me happiness by fighting with me. He who does not keep that promise is unfit to in the assembly. Therefore, as commander of the troops, act now to make me happy by fighting in order to give up your life. Ashvastaye, having fixed me in your heart, wipe away your tears of bliss." So it's described in the Bhagavatam that the demon becomes insulted, and since he was the object of a joke, he became like a large snake that was being teased by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He became overcome. This is a commentary by the Acharyas. Having fallen, so this is an exchange of rasa that's going on right here. And to a certain extent, that's what's happening with the wrestlers too. Of course, the wrestlers are not in the position of Jai and Vijay, but still, they're exchanging this rest with the Supreme Person and becoming purified. Because you remember in the beginning of the verse, Shinora addresses him, Hey Nanda Shuno. And hey, it reminds me of Hey Nanda Shuno Kuta, like from the prayers of the six Goswamis, isn't it? Where the Goswamis, Hey Radhe Brajadeva Ke, Hey Nanda Shuno Kuta. Same thing, same expression. Where are you? So he's getting purified. And this is a description of Hiranyaksha, having been a devotee before. Through Shuddhasattva by nature, because of the curse of the Kumaras arising from the will of the Lord, he became full of ignorance. At the time of fighting, he accepted great anger, although it was not real anger. And here's another quote from the 10th canto, 66th chapter, text 8. This is where Krishna was challenged by Pondraka. Pondraka, if you remember, was the imitation Supreme Personality of Godhead, the imitation Vishnu, who tied the chakra and the club and the lotus like that behind him, imitated two extra hands. So the personality of Godhead, after enjoying the jokes of the assembly, because Pondraka had sent a challenging, some challenging words to Krishna, told the messenger to relay the message to his master. You fool, this is Krishna's words, I will indeed let loose the weapons you boast of in this way. When you lie dead, O fool, your face will be covered by vultures, irons, and vada birds, whatever, and you will become the shelter of dogs. And here is an example of when Arjuna criticizes Krishna out of chivalry and love and friendship. Generally, both of us used to live together and sleep. This is when, from the Bhagavatam, when Arjuna is remembering his pastimes with Krishna. Generally, both of us used to live together and sleep, sit and loiter together, and at the time of advertising oneself for the acts of chivalry, sometimes, if there were any irregularity, I used to reproach him, saying, you know, because this is interesting, that a chivalrous person advertises himself at a particular time, isn't it? Just trying to understand those words. At the time of advertising oneself for acts of chivalry. So there's a time when a chivalrous person, person of the mode of passion, of course, is supposed to advertise himself. Interesting, isn't it? Sometimes, if there were any irregularity, I would reproach him by saying, and this is Arjuna's sarcastic words, but it's not out of envy. My friend, you are very truthful. So sarcastic. Even in those hours when his value was minimized, he, being the Supreme Soul, used to tolerate all those utterings of mine, excusing me exactly as a true friend excuses his true friend, or as a father excuses his son. Okay. So I mentioned, of course, that Krishna was perceived by the wrestlers as fury. So there's some motivation of fear on the part of the wrestlers, in addition to the them being envious of Krishna. All right. Let's see. I have some other things here. Okay. So the point is, what do we do about criticism? When should we criticize? Because certain times, it's appropriate to criticize. So what I usually talk about in this regard is the austerities of speech mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Satcha Priya Hitam. Krishna says the austerities of speech consist of speaking truthfully, but pleasingly and beneficially. So, in many cases, it's required to criticize, and not only to help the particular person that you're criticizing, but sometimes it may be even required to criticize, to try to understand in a private circumstance, not in the internet, not in a public forum like we see people do nowadays, to try to understand what's happening. For example, I got a letter from one of my disciples the other day. She said, because of certain things that have happened in ISKCON, and people are very bewildered, another devotee is talking to her in a private way, you know, Dadati Praja Granati Guyam Akyati Prichati, revealing her mind to what they call vent. Everyone's heard of venting before? And she said, what should I do? Should I just go away from it? And I explained to him, it's important to have these loving exchanges between devotees and try to understand if someone is not criticizing in the mood of envy, but criticizing because of the motivation of being confused or wanting to understand, and then dealing with the person in that particular way, being empathic and understanding the person's motivation behind criticism. You know, sometimes we, as I mentioned in the beginning of class, we often say, oh, the person must be envious if they're criticizing someone. But there's many, many different reasons. So criticism in that particular case or in those particular cases can be done confidentially. I don't think it's ever justified to go in a public forum like the internet where thousands of people or millions of people or whatever reading particular criticism and venting in such a fashion, because it doesn't help. It's not productive, like we said, such a priyahitam. So one has to consider these things, whether what I'm saying, whether I'm listening in a particular situation is conducive to helping the person or helping myself or rectifying the situation. Or it may be conducive to making the situation worse, creating criticism of Srila Prabhupada's movement. So I think these are all things that we should think of. And so how do we avoid, on the other hand, how do we avoid our criticism being motivated by envy? Because this is it's a big problem, because many times we do criticize people who, because we are envious of them or envious of their particular position or something like that. We have to examine our motivations. You know, what is the reason why I'm saying this about this particular person? And at the same time, we should consider ourselves servants of a servant of a servant of the Lord, as servants of the devotees. If we think about that we're meant to serve the Vaishnavas in a humble state of mind, a manina manadena kirtaniya sadhari, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states, then even if we have to criticize, it'll be done in an appropriate fashion, and remember such a prihitam, truthfully, beneficially, and pleasingly, then it will be not done out of envy. But it's very, very, very important to remain humble. So what does it mean to remain humble? I was actually listening to a conversation that Srila Prabhupada was having, and I was very impressed. Of course, I'm always impressed with Srila Prabhupada's humility and Vaishnava qualities. But Prabhupada was having this conversation with Brahmatirtha, at that particular point, was called Bob Cohn. So the conversation was as follows. Prabhupada said that the cause of miseries in this material world, the cause of getting problems in this material world is because of karma. Prabhupada made that point. You get sick because of karma, whatever. And then so Brahmatirtha asked Srila Prabhupada an interesting question. He says, do you ever get sick? And Prabhupada said, yes. And Brahmatirtha said, but I thought, what? that you have no karma because you're chanting. You know, chanting means no karma. And Prabhupada said, I have karma. I'm the worst of the devotees. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing. And Brahmatirtha said, you're the best of the devotees. And this is before Brahmatirtha became a devotee. And Prabhupada said, no, you're the best of the devotees. Can you imagine that? I was thinking, I would never be that humble. He probably said, I'm the worst of the devotees. You know, Prabhupada just didn't know what to make of that. And then Prabhupada further explained, which is interesting and kind of scary for those who have taken the position of spiritual master. He said, because I've accepted so many disciples, I'm just going fast forward through this, because I've accepted so many disciples, and, you know, we have to get the reaction. So that is my mistake or problem, like that. And so, and then Prabhupada said, this is the sacrifice, even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says not to accept somebody. So anyway, so Prabhupada was actually embarking on criticizing himself for accepting so many disciples, and then Prabhupada justified it. But you see, the Prabhupada was even dealing with someone like Brahmatirtha Bob Cohen at that particular point, was just thinking of his welfare. Understand? And so that's the point. If we're thinking if we're thinking of the welfare of someone or the welfare of the movement, then even if there's some criticism or whatever, that is beneficial. If that is our motivation and we thought it clearly and it is beneficial, then that's really important. So the point I'm making in class is not that all criticism is motivated by envy. Some criticism certainly is. But we have to be very careful, very, very careful about ascribing envy to everybody's criticism of us. It's very easy to do, and devotees, just reiterating what I said in the beginning of class, devotees have this habit. I mean, I have the habit. You know, someone criticized, it must be envious of me. It's not true all the time. So, any questions or comments? We got about 1 minute left to class. Yeah.
You're talking about criticism, and yeah. I'm just wondering about reporting when there is some abominable activity, for example, happening.
Yeah, that's such
a
pre-
different thing.
Yeah, well, that's such a prehintam. That's criticism, but it's bona fide.
Is that criticism, reporting?
Well, there's nothing wrong with criticism.
Activity? Is that criticism?
There's nothing wrong with, you know, if I criticize a rascal's activities, there's nothing wrong with it. It is criticism. See, we have this negative understanding of criticism. That's it. You actually made the point. It's not fault-finding, but it's still criticism.
Critical, but if you're just...
Yeah.
It's just if you're saying...
It's not fault-finding. But it's not fault-finding, but it's criticism. There's a difference. It's interesting. See, that was the point I was making, that we often think that there's something wrong with criticism. Prabhupada would criticize his disciples when they made a mistake. It's fine. Yeah, the criticism means to criticize someone. It doesn't. Fault-finding means someone is finding fault. But Prabhupada actually another time said, my business as a spiritual master is to find fault in my disciples, right? So it's not that fault-finding is bad. But if one is motivated by fault-finding, that's another thing. You understand?
It's the relationship has a lot to do that you have with that, like disciple, guru.
Yeah.
If you're in management, you have to defend. So there's some criticism of a thief. You can criticize this person, child abuser.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's that should be done. I mean, right, shouldn't demand respect. But criticism is good. It just depends on the motivation. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Ji Advaita Gadara Siva Sade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Krishna Chaitanya
Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sati Gauravata Vrinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sati Gauravata Vrinda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sade Gauravata Vrinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sade Gauravata Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama Raghuma Yare Yare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama 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 Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Ram Hare Hare by tea rum, 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 rum. Hey, Krishna, hey, Krishna, 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 ole, ole, rum, ole, rum, 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 ole, ole. Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hare Govinda Jaya Jaya Jai Radha,